Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at EricTalkStros. Find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and Instagram. They can find me at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
All right, we have a very special guest. I think you may have heard him on the radio once in a while, maybe. Sean Pendergast, where can they find you at?
Well, you can find me at Sean T. Pendergast on Twitter. And if you are early risers, you can find me at 6 a.m. on Sports Radio 610 Monday through Friday. Appreciate you guys having me on. You guys do a great job. So this is very, very cool for me. Thanks.
All righty. So I'm going to give you a break. We're not going to talk about that 2-9 team for on this show. So we're going to take a break from that. And so we are going to talk about this. And guys, I do want to thank y'all for making the Locked On Astros podcast your first listen every day on your way to work. I know you want to listen to 610 and listen to Sean talk about the Texans all the time, but we do appreciate you listening to the Locked On Astros podcast and watching it on YouTube. Go and keep on subscribing, keep on liking us, and keep on good times rolling. So I know it seems like we keep on talking about Carlos Correa. You had Apollo Dez on yesterday, and you talk about Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa's name keeps on coming up. Everybody keeps on saying, why you keep on talking about him? Well, his name keeps on coming up. Yesterday, it came out that even though he's been negotiating with other teams, it seems like he's still in contact with the Astros. It seems like all the teams that potentially had interest in him, they're getting their shortstops, the Rangers, the Tigers, and he may have alienated the Yankees to a certain respect. And now it appears that, according to John Heyman, that Carlos Correa is willing to wait out this lockout that could be happening tonight and waiting for this. So, Sean, do you think that's a smart idea, the fact that he's waiting to see possibly if the luxury tax threshold goes up and he can get more money?
I mean, I think, look, Carlos Correa is a good enough player. There's always going to be a market for Carlos Correa. I think whether there's the market that Corey Seager got, I don't think it's as automatic as people seem to think it was the other night. When Corey Seager signed his contract with the Rangers, all I could see was a bunch of different memes and things, people swimming in cash and things like that, and saying, no, this Carlos Correa spotted on his webcam, and it's, you know, Scrooge McDuck falling into a big pile of cash. I don't know if it's that automatic. I don't know if it's the back injury rumors that would drive the market being slow. One of the things I wondered today on our show when we talked about it, though, I do wonder if, you know, Texas gave that contract to Seager 10 years. Detroit was thought to be the front runner for Carlos, and now they've signed Javi Baez to a 6-year deal. I do wonder if Carlos has at least a little bit of regret for how aggressive he was going after the Dodgers and the Yankees back when he was defending the Astros, you know, sort of defending the Astros' honor. He was very, very aggressive, to the point of personal, with Cody Bellinger. And I wonder if he regrets that at all, because if you look at the way the market's played out, guys, the game of musical chairs it's playing with shortstops, I don't know. The teams that are left that would be in for Carlos Correa, I think the only ones that would be in that 10-year deal strata would be the Dodgers and the Yankees. You know, I don't know that any of these other teams that theoretically are on that odds board for Carlos, including the Astros. We know the Astros won't get close to that. But the other teams are the Twins and the Cardinals and some of these other teams that, you know, that you see listed out there, Seattle. Like, those don't strike me as 10-year, $320 million kind of teams. The Yankees and Dodgers obviously have the resources to do that. So that's my big question. If I were asking Carlos, I would say, do you regret at all kind of how aggressive you were? Because anytime those teams get brought up in think pieces about Carlos Correa, that's the first thing that gets brought up is how are the fans, how are the players in those clubhouses going to react to Carlos Correa signing? I think ultimately everything would get smoothed over. But it just comes down to what those teams think over the next several weeks about Carlos.
Yeah, and there's one team that I know has been mentioned in several circles and that a lot of people aren't really talking about or giving a lot of credence to, the team that I think has the most money with the best chance of signing him to a 10-year deal are the Phillies out in the East. And they have Bryant on the radar, but Bryant, it seems like, is on everybody's radar. I believe John Heyman tweeted out like 10 teams that are in on Bryant, and I said basically – John Heyman's reporting that the entire league wants Chris Bryant. I mean, it's obvious. the back issues. Now, I know he's had back injuries, but from what I understand, from what I know, there is a lot of smoke and mirrors that goes on during negotiation times. Sometimes teams or people leak stuff or get stuff out there to drive a market up or drive a market down. And if you don't believe there's market manipulators out there, then you don't have a pulse and don't follow sports. The bottom line is this: Carlos Correa may have to swallow his pride, take a massive 2-year deal with a third-year opt-out with the Astros. I mean, but it would take around $40 to $45 million per year. Kind of like, remember Trevor Bauer's contract, how crazy that was? That's the insane type of contract that will take to keep him in Houston. I do not see Crane going over 5 years. Every indication tells me, and every person I talk to tells me, he has no inclination to go into a 10-year deal with Carlos Correa. He didn't even go into a 10-year deal with Altuve. And Altuve and Bregman were the biggest contracts that anybody's ever signed with the Astros. And so, you know, in recent memory, actually under Crane. But at the end of the day, Crane is not cheap. Crane is a good owner. A lot of people give Crane a lot of crap, but this team has a window open till 2025 and beyond. And this is what I think might be hurting Carlos. He has an agency that has never, I don't think they've ever represented a sports person.
They haven't.
They are a Hollywood agency. And that might be a misstep. And sometimes, you know, Sean, sometimes these athletes, they don't pick the best representation, but they trust them. And so now the ball is in his court.
Yeah. Well, you know what too, Brett, is that I'm glad you brought that up, because the two shortstops that we're talking about in this free agency cycle on that layer of free agency are Carlos and Corey Seager. Corey Seager has Scott Boras. You know, he's got the goat when it comes to doing stuff like this. So you know that Scott Boras was out there flipping over every stone, talking to every team, doing everything he could to get that 10-year deal for Corey Seager. Who the hell knows how Carlos's Hollywood agency was handling all this stuff? I can guarantee you he was not handling it as well as Scott Boras was. I'm going to assume that Scott Boras, the guy who's been doing these big deals in baseball forever, who gets every last dollar he can for his guys and gets what they want, I'm going to assume that there's got to be part of Carlos that looked at Corey Seager's deal, part of Carlos. Maybe he's fine with how this is all unfolding, but there's got to be part of him that looks at what Corey Seager got and looks and sees, yeah, Scott Boras is his agent, and maybe question a little bit his decision for representation that he made, you know, in the last couple of years, I guess it was, you know, when he's kind of consulting with A-Rod on this whole thing.
So this is, I guess you would call this breaking news from Mark Berman. He says, according to MLB sources, the agent for free agent shortstop Carlos Correa has heard from the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Cubs, and the Braves, and was offered 5 years, $160 million by the Astros last month. So those are the teams in on Carlos Correa.
Now the Cubs, I don't know how they would be in. Now, Now, the Cubs just signed Stroman, okay, to like a massive 3-year deal, huge deal for him, 25 a year. If you look at his FIP, I don't know. I think he's a little overvalued. The Braves is interesting. Don't they have Ozzie Albies? Would they move Albies to second?
Well, he plays second base.
Oh, okay. Okay. Ozzie plays second.
Dansby Swanson.
Yeah. Yeah, now that's interesting. Dansby's had an up and down career. Dansby came through in the playoffs for them. That would be an interesting move. That would be a move that I don't see, that I didn't see coming. And the other teams, you said the Yankees and the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers are very much in play for Carlos Correa. I really do. I mean, think about who they've lost. They're losing Kershaw. He's not coming back. They've lost Seager. They got Chris Taylor back, who a lot of Astros fans were calling on the Astros to get. Larry the GM, Apollo Dez, myself, Eric, we've all said Chris Taylor would fit perfectly with this team. He goes back with a big four-year, $60 million deal. The Mariners can still spend. I know they have J.P. Crawford, but why wouldn't you solidify the middle of your infield with a Crawford and Correa type of duo? I still think the Yankees, even though they've been mum, I still think they're out there. Now, they have a bigger problem on their hands with Judge and Stanton and Cole being on their payroll. So out west may be where we're looking, or the wild card, the Chicago Cubs.
You know what's interesting, guys, to me about these teams? I'm looking at Berman's tweet right now that you just read, Eric. And I wonder, you know, the Braves, I don't know what their payroll was coming into, you know, I don't know what their payroll was this year, but we know Freddie Freeman's a free agent. It makes me wonder with the Braves, do they have the wherewithal to give big deals to both Freeman and Correa? You know, is their interest in Correa at all a statement on where they feel they stand with Freddie Freeman, who I think everybody thinks it's, you know, a virtual lock that he's going, he's an Atlanta guy, you know, like he's the guy that signed there through all the bad times on that long-term deal. So I think everybody thinks he's going back there, but that would be, and look, they just won the World Series. So maybe they've got, you know, bigger spending wherewithal than we think, but those would be two massive contracts that they brought those guys in. What do you guys think about the Red Sox for Correa? That's an interesting one with Bogart's contract up next year.
The Braves' current payroll as of right now is about $116 million. So they are way under the luxury tax threshold at the moment. That's not including Freddie Freeman or Carlos Correa or anybody. So they did what they did on I know they had some people leave, but that was pretty impressive what they did in 2021, beating the Astros on that. So
what do you think about the Red Sox at – as he said, maybe moving Bogarts to second base?
Or moving – oh, yeah, I guess they have Devers at third base, so they wouldn't move him third base. So I don't know. I don't know if I would bet on that, Brett. What do you think?
Well, let me tell you, BetOnline has you covered on all the season props, odds, and lines more than ever before as football season is here. And we know the Houston Texans are charging for the – well, not the playoffs. They're trying to get the number one pick, and they're failing at that. But that's okay. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
That would be interesting having him go to – who's their current second baseman? Current second baseman is – they don't really have one.
You mean for the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Enrique Hernandez.
Well, let me tell you. Yeah, let me tell you. Kiki will play the outfield. Kiki will play the outfield. That'll be fine. They've got Bobby Dalbec at first. That would be one hell of an infield, guys. Devers, Correa, Bogarts, and Dalbec. Oh, my gosh. Like, you're – like, all of a sudden, the Red Sox are the Yankees, you know? I mean, that would be insane. That absolutely makes sense. Think about the Cora connection.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Like, if we were saying the things we were saying about Hinch and Correa, you know, a week ago, back when they were, you know, when they were having their breakfast at Tiny Boxwoods over there, you could say the same thing about Cora, also, right? I mean, there's that the connection with the two of them. I think the Red Sox are an interesting one.
I mean, they're texting before the playoff series, so yeah. So that's definitely something I can totally see there. So, but Bogarts is a great shortstop in his own. But Carlos Correa won the Platinum Gold Glove, so I guess you would have to have him at shortstop. But I guess it would all depend on how healthy his back is. I mean, teams are, according to Buster Olney, a lot of teams are scared of his back. And according to him, Carlos Correa's agents have said, well, we're not going to let you see the medical reports until you give us a serious offer. And I don't know what.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just, I, I think that's more rumor than fact.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's being bantered about. I think that's because I heard the same thing and I've been looking into it. That's what's being said. That's being said, right? It's a he said, she said thing right now. But who knows? Maybe they did. I don't know. Like that. That to me seems like you're trying to hide something. If you do that, you're hiding something, because if something's there, you're going to find it. If that's the case, you're just delaying the inevitable. So you sell the platinum glove, the gold glove, the clutch gene, the talking Valdez back on the mound, the, you know, being the leader, you know, having the team's back, putting the team on his shoulders. You talk about that. You don't talk about the injuries. You talk about his health. You talk about all that stuff, and you sell. You don't go, well, as long as you give us an offer, we'll show you the medicals. I think that's baloney, to be honest.
Okay, so Sean, when all the smoke clears, maybe in February, when the lockout ends, or we'll talk about the lockout in a second, what do you think happens with Correa? What's your gut feeling?
My gut feeling is he still winds up going to the Yankees or the Dodgers, a team like that. I still think that there's going to be a big deal out there for Carlos Correa. The dust is kind of settled now with all the top-tier free agents. He's really the only one still left out there in that strata. So he, you know, him and Freeman, you know, I think, you know, Stroman just went off the market. I don't have a list in front of me or anything like that, but it feels like all the names that were in that 20, 25, 30, in the case of Scherzer, $40 million a year range, have all flown off the shelves. So he's got kind of a captive audience here. I think ultimately somebody's going to give him the years that he wants. That's not the Astros. I do feel better about the Astros' chances now than I did a week ago. Like, I think Detroit getting married to Javi Baez is a big deal, and I think Seager going to the Rangers. I wish Simeon hadn't also signed there. I wish Simeon had taken one of the musical chairs somewhere else, and there's still Trevor Story out there to take up a spot. So I feel better about the Astros getting Correa. I just think at the end of the day, it's felt like such a fait accompli for such a long time that he's not going to be back here, that I'm just going to stick with that. I'm going to stick with that as my gut. But I know one of the other things Buster Olney's been saying is that among the most aggressive teams in the market pursuing shortstops are the Houston Astros. So maybe, you know, I know we say that, you know, Crane's not going to go over 5 years, but maybe, I'm not saying he goes 10, but maybe they find a happy medium somewhere, maybe 7 with an opt-out after 3. I do think that there's a good chance that whatever Carlos ends up signing, he has some sort of, especially if it's with the Astros, that there's some sort of player opt-out after the first couple, 2-3 years to go test the market again. I think that seems like a logical thing to have in his deal. But I think a Yankee or a Dodger, I think that big 8, 9, 10-year deal is going to be out there for him somewhere.